sugar, spice, and everything nice. These were the ingredients chosen to create
The Grace Curley Show. Radio, TV, print, Grace Curley does it all.
She sings, she dances, she acts.
I'm waiting by the door for my Pulitzer.
She sounds hideous.
She's just the worst.
Yeah, she's a wacko.
She is the devil. I'm in hell.
Now, here's the millennial with the mic.
She still leaves me both breathless and speechless.
I love her.
She is the best.
Somebody will ask you to say Grace.
Grace Curley.
Grace! Hello, friends, and welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. And a happy Monday. It's a holiday. President's Day to all of you. We are here. We are live. Fear not. We are live here at the Grace Curley Show, and we have a lot to discuss. I wanted to open up today with a very special, exciting announcement. And I teased this on social media. We got a couple of guesses in. No one got it. No one guessed the correct answer. I will be going to Italy, and you could be going with me if you play your cards right. With Colette in October from the 2nd to the 10th this October. I am so pumped about this. I had the best time traveling with Colette to Iceland with my sister and a bunch of listeners. We had the time of our lives. And so to be able to go to Italy, we're going to see Tuscany, the Italian Riviera. We're going to go to Parma.
I will have the gabagool.
And take a pasta making class, which I've actually never done before. So to do that in Italy.
You keep meatballs in your jacket?
See the olive groves. It's going to be spectacular. And I know since the Iceland people... or the people who went to Iceland with me, not the Icelandic people, but the people who joined us there. They've been asking when's the next trip. Howie was nice enough to take over for me, step in last time, because I was pregnant. This time, though, to get this second chance to go to Italy with the listeners, I am just over the moon. And my sister and I this weekend, Taylor, we read the itinerary through twice because we just couldn't get over all the exciting parts of this.
You're going with your sister?
My sister will be joining, yes.
Who joined you in Iceland?
My sister.
Where... I'm staying here.
You think you and I, dynamic duo in Italy?
Do you know how much fun we'd have?
I fear we would end up fighting a lot. I think sometimes with us, the space is necessary. Do you not think so? I get the sense with you, by 2 o'clock, you're ready for me to go away for a bit. And when you're traveling together...
Do you know how much fun you would have making fun of the way I pronounce things in Italy?
Oh, and right back at you. That would be... That would be both. I would love to see you in action traveling.
And that super fan of mine would have so much fun.
I'm the super fan of yours. Oh my gosh. You're so right. I can't imagine.
Listen, I think there's still time to
rearrange.
Renege that invitation to your sister and extend it to me.
She's very excited though. She loves Italy.
Oh, too bad.
She's been a couple times.
Disappointment's a part of life.
I can't imagine how many fights you get into when you're traveling abroad.
She's not even Italian.
Neither am I.
Well, she doesn't have her own talk show.
That's true. You must, when you go abroad, you must be beefing with everybody. About everything, too.
You've heard the train story.
Yes.
Everybody's heard the train story. We won't get into that, but hey, I wish you and your sister a lot of fun.
Thanks. Yeah. I can tell by the way you're talking. You're very excited for us. So to find out more, go to gracecurlyshow.com. Click on the banner. You can see the whole itinerary. As I said, we read through it twice. We are thrilled. We are just looking at all the different parts and how much fun it's going to be. It is going to be amazing. And so if you have any questions throughout the next couple weeks, just text in. Let me know. And I will try to get you as many answers as I possibly can. Speaking of Europe, though, this is actually a nice little segue for us into the Munich Security Conference. I mentioned the Munich Security Conference on Friday, Taylor. Do you remember this? I mentioned it because...
They were all getting private jets over there and whatnot, right?
Yeah, and they were all having issues. You know, they're not traveling with Colette to Munich, so they don't have all this stuff ironed out.
Now we know what next year's tour is going to be.
Yeah, they need to rely on all of us, the taxpayers. And when the government partially shut down, Mike Johnson... Big bad mean speaker of the house, Mike Johnson, said, well, we're not going to fund this. Like, if you guys are going to stick around and keep the government open because you want to score political points with the crazy white women that are dominating your party and accosting ICE agents on the street and calling them house N-words, then we don't really care to send you to your fancy panel for you to cross your legs and hold your microphone and talk about how much you hate Donald Trump. We don't want to do it.
Where are the white women at?
Now, I'm tempted to immediately start this by just dunking on AOC, who had a really, really rough time over there. I'm so glad that she somehow managed to get there. I don't know if maybe her trip was greenlit because she's just so important to the conference, Taylor, or if she had to call in a favor with maybe Bernie Sanders and say, hey, I know you got the private jet on speed dial. I'm not waiting in line on United.
Well, she saw Gavin Newsom go to whatever, Davos, right?
Yeah, the knee pad conference. He brought his knee pads with him.
And she
said,
all right,
dude loves a prop.
So this is where the presidential 2028 campaign is going to be. It's not going to be a fight fought at home. It's going to be a fight fought overseas.
Taylor, from your Italian lips to God's ears,
please don't say that.
I hope, from those Italian lips to God's ears, I hope AOC is running for president. Because between her and Whitmer, I'm not going to start with it. I'm going to go to it later, but I just will say this one thing. It's amazing to me the lack of intelligence coupled with the lack of humility. Because there are plenty of things that as a radio host who puts on a show for 2 hours that I do not know. And I'm usually pretty forthcoming about that. There's things that I am not an expert on. But to go over there to the Munich Security Conference with no knowledge on anything, on history, on geography, on foreign policy issues, and to assume that you're going to be asked only questions about Donald Trump and racism and how wonderful you are, and to be caught flat-footed in what I would call an Aleppo moment. What is Aleppo? And to be surprised by that really showcases just how out of their depth these people are, how empty and shallow and immature the Democrat bench is right now. That these are all the front runners for president and they don't know anything about what they're talking about. And if that didn't make matters worse for them, it'd be one thing for me to say, AOC doesn't know where Venezuela is, and AOC doesn't know how the Cowboys originated, and AOC, that's why it's one thing to not know all these things. But then she goes as far as to dunk on the one guy who impressed everybody at the conference, the one guy who showed up. And yes, I'm talking about Secretary of State and hopefully future president someday, because man, oh man, does he impress me. And then when you consider all the other jobs he's got going, he's going to be the new silence. He's going to be the new villain in Silence of the Lambs. Do you know that? When they remake the movie, that's another job for Marco Rubio.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was that that? Oh, hello.
Was that that great big fat person?
We'll talk about that in a minute. That's another story that's... Put
the lotion in the basket.
I tried to intertwine it with this current story. It's probably confusing people. We'll get to it in a minute. Just stand by. But when you have Marco Rubio as the Secretary of State and he delivers a speech that gets a standing ovation, Taylor, from our European allies, from the entire room, which is pretty unprecedented for those things, and then you have the juxtaposition of him and Gretchen Whitmer trying to talk about Ukraine. And you want to be, you guys don't know what you're talking about with Ukraine. You don't know what you're talking about with Taiwan. And that's okay. But you want to be my latex salesman? You want to be the president of the United States? It's like they actually think that the job itself would just be them going to panels all over the world and talking about how racist white people are. They think...
Be my latex salesman.
They think that's what goes into being president. And you know why I want to discuss this is because there was a time where when Trump was running in 2016, I talked about this morning with on WGAN. So if you're a GAN listener, you may be getting the duplicate here. But there was a time with Trump where I remember thinking, like, this guy's a reality star and he's all these things. They're going to catch him. They're going to catch him in a moment. He's not going to remember somebody's name. And I'm sure, you know, everybody has a bad day. There's plenty of times where Trump mixes up something or whatever. But I remember thinking, like, how deep does his knowledge go on a lot of these issues with foreign policy? There's so much to know, Taylor. And I'm talking about as someone who just tries to cover it once in a while. There's a lot to know. There's a lot of history with this stuff. So I remember with Trump thinking, how's he going to do this? Like, is he going to do a study session? Is someone going to be in the back just like, you know, going through all this information with him? And what I figured out very quickly with Donald Trump is his real life experience of being a real estate tycoon and building things all over the world has informed a lot of his philosophy and opinions on how he deals with other nations. And he's had real life interactions with a lot of these leaders, dictators, governments through his own life, throughout the decades of being a businessman. That stands in such a sharp contrast to these Democrats whose only job thus far has been being an empty suit that talks about Donald Trump. That's their experience. That's what they have experience in, is talking about how much they hate Trump. And so when you ask them a question, and the scary part of it is that she doesn't know what she's talking about with Taiwan. She doesn't know what she's talking about with Venezuela. She doesn't know what she's talking about with cowboys. She doesn't know what she's talking about with anything. And Gretchen Whitmer doesn't know what she's talking about with Ukraine. And they're supposedly like front runners for the Democrat 2028 presidential race. But here's the scary part. They won't be humbled by this. They won't be embarrassed. Like, I just don't think they lack the enzyme, I guess, to be embarrassed. I make up for it for all of them. I cringe in solidarity with them. But they will get a talking point from someone, like a 15-second soundbite talking point of, here's what you say next time you get asked about Taiwan. And that will carry them into 2028. Like, that's what they'll use. But we know, Taylor, we know from this weekend, thank God, we know now that this is the depth of their knowledge. This is how brilliant their minds are when it comes to all these issues. They will pretend from here on out, because now, you know, they touch the stove, they learn the hard way. Oop, they're going to ask me about that. I better have a canned answer. But that is as far as it goes with them. It's starting now, they'll learn about it. And the reason I say that is because you cannot like Marco Rubio. But when you watch this guy, the amount of knowledge he has, his true understanding of history and our relationship with Europe and the allies and the issues that we're dealing with all over the world would knock these people's socks off. And you can tell, not just when you listen to a speech, but when you watch him be grilled, and I'm using air quotes because it's not even a grilling, by members of the Senate. This man has such a firm grasp on what he's talking about. He's a serious person who understands the gravity of a lot of these issues that he is currently dealing with. And so just when you see that and you see that speech and you hear what he's talking about, and then you flip to AOC and she's making fun of the speech that he gave. She's trying to dunk on his speech as if he's some big moron. I just, man, oh man.
Aren't you embarrassed?
Golly is all I'll say. Golly. No humility in the Democrat Party, and they need it. They need it ASAP, because when you have humility, then you learn things. Then you ask questions. Then you sit down and you read a little bit and you go, hey, well, I didn't have a good idea of what this was, so why don't I try to inform myself? They won't do that. They won't do that. They'll come up with some social media TikTok dunking on Marco Rubio, and they'll move on with their lives. And they want to be your latex salesman. I'm just warning you. We're going to come back to this. We're going to break it down, so don't go anywhere. And I will explain the Silence of the Lambs thing at some point. Don't, Taylor, you got to hold me to that. Do not let this show go by without the Silence of the Lambs.
Done.
It's so easy to put things off. I'll do that next year. I'll do that next month. We all do it. But you don't want to procrastinate when it comes to your smile, because the second you start working on your smile, you're going to think to yourself, I should have done this a long time ago. Because every interaction you have, you hit them with that 1,000-watt smile. And they think, wow, look at, she's so confident. You might not always have been that way, but once you start fixing your smile, people will notice.
Look at you, married to an electrician, now you're throwing out phrases like 1,000-watt smile.
See, it's all about the knowledge, Taylor. I got a lifetime of knowledge up in this brain. And wherever I go now, I'm so proud of my smile. And that's because of the team at Perfect Smiles. Whether you have a teeth cleaning in mind, whether you have veneers in mind, whether you want to do what I did and just try out Invisalign, they can help you wherever you are as far as the spectrum of, you know, I just want a little tweak or I want the whole thing redone, Perfect Smiles is by your side and they're ready to help, and they are excellent at what they do. And I just want to mention that one of the parts of Perfect Smiles that I've really enjoyed, and I haven't had this experience everywhere, there's no judgment. Like, they're not there to make you feel bad if, you know, you haven't been flossing as good as you should be. They're really just there to make you feel comfortable and to have you leaving in a much happier spot than when you arrived. And they do that every time. So if you want to get on this today, call them 603-595-6699 or visit them at perfectsmiles.com. That's perfectsmiles.com. We will be right back.
And you want to be my latex cell.
Follow Grace on X at G underscore Curly. This is the Grace Curly Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curly Show. All right, so I promised I wasn't going to start with the AOC and the Whitmer, and yet, then the first segment went by, and here we are. Haven't played any Marco cuts. We are going to get to it. We also have Hillary Clinton, very defensive. This woman, she gets so angry. You almost, when you listen to her speak, start to feel bad for Bill.
Oh, my congratulations to the guy that... took her on, the soon-to-be late prime minister, deputy prime minister of the Czech Republic.
Yeah, he's not suicidal. We want to mention that, okay? He's not so depressed about his interaction with Hillary that he's suicidal. But yeah, she got dunked on. And also, Taylor, I was watching Fox, and there was some panel she was on with the, it was like a woman's panel. It was being moderated by a biological man and who thinks that he is a woman. And in the background, you have the front row. This front row, man, it was like murderer's row. Uma Abedin, who's now married to Alex Soros, the billionaire nepo baby, George Soros' son. So you had Uma Abedin. You had Nancy Pelosi. Ye gods. Like, these people are so flipping old, and they have nothing to do except to go to Munich to talk about Trump. And to talk about how scared they are of Donald Trump. So you had Nancy Pelosi. And next to Nancy Pelosi, guess who's next? Mayor Wu. All these mayors. There's nothing. You got the bicyclists. The cyclists. I'm sorry. The cyclists. Is there a difference between a bicyclist and a cyclist?
I don't think so.
You've got the cyclists in Boston who have taken it upon themselves to shovel out the bike lanes because nothing's being done in the city. And where's our mayor? Well, besides orchestrating the kids from Seattle to go to the World Cup, she's also at the Munich Security Conference looking lovingly at Hillary Clinton, who's answering questions from some panel. It's crazy. I'm like, the mayors are going now? What is happening? Oh, you don't have enough issues going on in the cities that you're trying to run that you have to go all the way to Munich to spread your wisdom as if the Europeans need help from Mayor Wu? Today's poll question is brought to you by Colette Tours. Join me October 2nd as we journey to picturesque Tuscany and the Italian Riviera with Colette. Colette handles all the details, flights, meals, hotels, local experiences. Everyone who asks me, when are you going to Italy? When's the next trip? This is it. I'm very excited. I'm over the moon here. Your only job is to have the time of your life, so don't miss out. To join me, call Colette at 800-581-8942 or go to gracecurlyshow.com and click the banner to learn more. That number again is 800-581-8942.
Gabagool. Over here.
I'm hoping that a lot of the people who went with me to Iceland will return and we can have kind of a reunion of sorts, but we also want to see some new faces as well, so make sure you check that out. It's going to be a lot of fun. Taylor, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at gracecurlyshow.com, is who embarrassed themselves more at the Munich Security Conference, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez or Gretchen Whitmer?
So AOC is getting more comparisons to Kamala Harris, but before the cowboy comment and the Venezuela comment, I would have said it was kind of a toss-up, but just the sheer amount of videos I'm seeing of AOC, she's winning this.
Yeah, out of one or two sit-downs, she's just on a tour de force of buffoonery.
Yeah.
94% say AOC has embarrassed herself more.
Yeah, and, you know, she doesn't, I mean, it's just a quick Google search sometimes. That's all it takes, really, to stop, to not beclown yourself on the world stage. Sometimes all that stands in the way of you in an embarrassing moment is a quick Google search. Where did cowboys originate from? That's all it takes, and you could avoid all this. We'll be right back.
The Grace Curley Show is on the air.
Boy, am I glad that the governor of Michigan and the congresswoman from the Bronx made it to Munich to share their wisdom. One of the texters said, yeah, I agree with you. Why are all these mayors going over there to spread their bad ideas? Maybe they're trying to collect some bad ideas, too. They're like, things are going pretty poorly in my home city. And I want to know what you guys think I could do worse. Hit me with whatever you guys are doing over here seems to be imploding in a pretty big way. Because when you think about it, Taylor, it's like we are in these blue states and in these sanctuary cities. We are kind of following the blueprint from a lot of these European countries. Mass migration, welcoming everyone in, you know, trying to pretend as if that's not going to have a negative impact on the people that live here, the legal citizens of the United States of America. And so perhaps this was an exchange of ideas. It wasn't just AOC wanting to explain to people what she thought about Taiwan. Now, here's part of the problem, though, is that they never, as a conservative, when you go on a weekend show, when you go on The View, they don't really have conservatives on anymore. That's why they're being sued. But when you go on these shows, you know from a very, very early age of your political career that you will be grilled, that there will be gotcha questions, that they are going to hit you with everything you have. You just watch the CNN panel with Scott Jennings. It's Scott versus like six people. They have a lot of young women on there now. Lydia Moynihan from the New York Post. She has to go up against like five people who are yelling at her, mocking her, trying to make her point seem stupid, even though she's smarter than all of them combined. This is what happens to conservatives. So we're kind of like the Russian army. Train hard, fight easy. Like we're used to this. We're throwing bows all the time. Democrats aren't even used to having to know the basics about what they're there to talk about. So you show up to a panel and it's like, Taylor, I would love to say that was a gotcha question. I would love to say that asking AOC about Taiwan was some sort of unfair, intricate, gotcha question. What did she expect? You're at the Munich Security Conference. What do you think they were going to ask you about? Bad Bunny's Super Bowl halftime show? Like, what did you think they were going to ask you? Hey, we know you hate Trump, but why don't you explain to us a little bit more? Is he racist? Is he sexist? Tell us how. Tell us what's going on in New York. Why do you love Mom Donnie so much? No! It's the Munich Security Conference. It's going to be about foreign policy. It's going to be about these issues that you claim to know so much about. And here's your chance. And this is what she comes up with. Let's have this cut here. This is the one that's making its way all over. I would like the word salad cut, please, Taylor.
Would and should the U.S. actually commit U.S. troops to defend Taiwan if China were to move?
You know, I think that this is such a, you know, I think that this is a, this is, of course, a very longstanding policy of the United States. And I think what we are hoping for is that we want to make sure that we never get to that point. And we want to make sure that we are moving in all of our economic research and our global positions to avoid any such confrontation and for that question to even arise.
Yeah, I would say the comparisons to Kamala and the word salad are actually a lot nicer. The one that came to mind for me, and sometimes I hesitate to bring this up because I feel bad for this lady because this cut has existed for so long, but it is reminding me of the beauty pageant answer, such as things like that of that nature, such as things of, you know, maps and things like that. That is what it reminds me of. And I've seen some people splice that together, Taylor, today. And that to me is very accurate. But that wasn't her only bad moment, and we will talk about that in a little bit. But before we do, let's play Gretchen Whitmer, because I want to give people a chance here. If you're filling out, if you're answering the poll question, you need to know what you're dealing with. This was Governor Gretchen Whitmer also being cornered by one of these evil moderators who had no idea the kind of genius they were dealing with. This is cut 8.
On Ukraine, what does victory look like?
No, please. I'd love to hear your answer.
The two that I am on the panel with are much more steeped in foreign policy than a governor is. But I do think that Ukraine's independence, keeping their landmass and having the support of all the allies, I think is the goal from my vantage point. Go ahead, Ambassador. Do a better job.
Holy guacamole. What is happening? That is the best you can do? And it wouldn't be so bad if I got the sense that these people were like, hey, you know, she said that the people on the panel, Taylor, it's a Trump ambassador, by the way, who she's deferring to. Take it away, Ambassador. I don't need to answer this. You know what the irony here is, or the part of it that really just like smacks me in the face, is that there she is trying to wiggle out of that question by saying, you know, they're far more steeped in foreign policy. Oh yeah, we just saw AOC. She seemed really steeped in foreign policy with her answer. But they're a lot more steeped in foreign policy than a governor. Which begs the question, why the bleep are you there? You just answered the question that was on my mind. Why are you here? If you can't answer these questions and you really have no business answering them and you are focused more on what's going on in Michigan, getting your husband's boat out of the water, why are you at the Munich Security Conference? And the funny thing about all these Democrats that all want to run for president and they've not a humble bone in their flipping bodies is that they have no answers. You see this? They have no answers. But they're very quick to criticize, aren't they? They're very quick to tell you all the things that are wrong with Marco Rubio, someone who they cannot hold a candle to when it comes to intelligence. They're very quick to tell you that every single thing. I really feel like cursing today. I don't know why. Something about this really infuriates me. It's like I've heard these people be experts on everything and explain to me why every single decision Donald Trump makes is wrong. And then when asked about their own ideas, their own philosophies, they've got nothing. They have absolutely nothing. It's almost like they're going to say to them, why don't you tell me what Trump thinks about it? And then I'll tell you that I don't like that. Why don't you tell me, why don't you tell me what you think? And then I'll come up with something about why that's not good. Well, no, you're here because you're supposed to be this thought leader. You're supposed to be this person who's inspiring all these idiot young people who have no idea what's going on. And it turns out you don't have any idea what's going on. You don't have any ideas of your own. You don't have any message. You don't have any thoughts on this stuff. You think if you become president of the United States, President AOC, that all it's going to be is you sitting there girl bossing from behind the Resolute desk and telling everyone why, you know, making stupid videos about whatever woke thing is popular that month. There's actually a lot more that goes into it.
Oh, girl, baby girl.
They're all theater kids. And I'm a theater kid. And I can tell you right now, you don't want this theater kid in the
don't
Oval Office.
Don't even play.
Like, maybe in the Oval Office, yeah, maybe you want me in there to take a photo, you know? Like, we'd all be excited. Grace in the Oval Office, woo! But you don't want me dealing with the nuclear codes? You don't want me telling you what I think should happen with Taiwan if I'm in a real position of power? It's not something I'm qualified for, but it's not something I'm running for either. These people think they're qualified to deal with these issues that involve life and death, and they're not. They're not, and they don't even seem to care about that.
I'd say also their arguments are also based in emotion and they're reactionary. So they're just going based off of, oh, Marco Rubio said something about horses, and that, you know, as a Hispanic person, it goes back to my roots in Mexico, and I find that extremely offensive, blah, 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 blah,
but she
blah.
Doesn't even know her roots in Mexico. Like, she doesn't even have any sort of... Again, it's a very shallow, shallow pool.
Whereas his
that their knowledge is in.
His speech, he got into that. Look, we love people. We don't want, you know, anything bad to happen to, but we've got to govern based on our interests, and we expect you to do the same. And he put that so succinctly in
oh, it was beautiful.
It was amazing.
And that's what I want to talk about now. I want to shift gears because I always get caught up in the dumb stuff, and I don't talk about the really moving, profound, important stuff. And that's what Marco Rubio delivered. He delivered a speech. It reaffirmed the transatlantic bond by not just, and this is what Taylor was just alluding to, and he's so dead on, by not just reminding our European allies of the challenges we faced together in the past and the challenges that we are going to have to face together in the future, but also, and this is one of my favorite aspects of this speech, underscoring just how intertwined we are. And, you know, he talked about German farmers in the Midwestern heartland. He talked about French explorers and fur traders. He talked about, as we just mentioned, the cowboy and the origins in Spain. And there was so much history in this speech and so much respect and appreciation for all of these cultures that shaped ours, our very unique culture here in the United States of America. And his acknowledgement that, and this was the line that stuck out to me, Our home may be in the Western Hemisphere, but we will always be a child of Europe. And there was a lot of love there. And it's funny how, because, you know, I fall into this a lot on this show, and it's always tempting. And Taylor doesn't stop me because he's right next to me on this one. We dunk on Europe a lot because it's easy. It's very easy right now.
That's the right thing to do.
And it's because of what Europe has ushered in, like mass migration, this attitude of weakness. But Rubio has a wide-ranging understanding of how we got here as a country, and he was really able to thread that needle of emphasizing how early settlers brought their Christian faith, their shared history, their culture, their heritage to the New World, while also warning Europe that we don't criticize you. We don't criticize you right now and what is going on because we hate Europe. We criticize what is going on because we love Europe. We don't like seeing what's happening in Europe. We want to see a strong Europe, not just for the sake of the United States, for the sake of civilization. So let's play. Let's start with cut one, please, because mass migration is always a huge issue with these events.
Controlling who and how many people enter our countries, this is not an expression of xenophobia. It is not hate. It is a fundamental act of national sovereignty. And the failure to do so is not just an abdication of one of our most basic duties owed to our people. It is an urgent threat to the fabric of our societies and the survival of our civilization itself.
Yeah, and I want to play cut two as well.
We want allies who can defend themselves so that no adversary will ever be tempted to test our collective strength. This is why we do not want our allies to be shackled by guilt and shame. We want allies who are proud of their culture and of their heritage, who understand that we are heirs to the same great and noble civilization, and who together with us are willing and able to defend it. And this is why we do not want allies to rationalize the broken status quo rather than reckon with what is necessary to fix it.
Yeah, and Trump has always governed and always, you know, advised his cabinet to focus on peace through strength. And I think that our European allies could really take a lesson from that. And another aspect of this speech, and I didn't have Taylor pull it because, you know, it was a 25-minute speech, but there was a part of it where he started criticizing the United Nations and just emphasizing, and what he did was he compared, like, what they're doing there and how ineffective it is, these strongly worded statements, these resolutions, versus what Trump has been doing as the leader of the free world. And, you know, taking out Iran's nuclear capabilities, you know, capturing Maduro, all of these concrete examples of strength versus this nonsense talk from an organization that's really not doing what they claim to want to do. And so I loved that contrast as well. There was so much to this speech that I thought really sets Marco Rubio up. I mean, I know J.D. Vance is kind of the heir apparent here, but I'd be happy with either of them because I was just blown away by this. We'll talk about it. We'll play more cuts. We'll play more from AOC because the part of this that's really going viral is that AOC, she hadn't had enough after the Taiwan disaster. She then went on to criticize and mock Marco Rubio for a part of the speech that he referenced about Spain. And as always, the fact checks are in and doesn't look good for Congresswoman AOC. Join me October 2nd as we journey to picturesque Tuscany in the Italian Riviera with Colette. I am so excited. We're going to take in the rugged coastline and colorful cliffside villages of Cinque Terre. What do you think, Taylor?
You got it.
Did I? Okay. Yeah. Okay. I was going over the itinerary with my sister this weekend. As I said, she's been to Italy a few times and, you know, she loves it there. And every single thing I would say, I would get a echo back of the correct way to pronounce it. So I am ready for the criticisms here. We will see the rolling hills of Tuscany and enjoy the tranquil beauty of the Italian Lake District. Plus, we are going to explore the iconic sites in famous Florence, the cradle of the Renaissance. So much food and wine. We're going to go to Parma. We're going to have a pasta making class. There's so much to do. I traveled with Colette to Iceland, so I can tell you this from my own experience. It is the best way to travel. They take care of everything. All you have to do is show up, appropriate footwear, a good attitude, and you're going to have a great time. I know we're going to have an awesome time, and that's why I'm really excited about this. And furthermore, I would really encourage you to go to gracecurlyshow.com. If you're just hearing this now for the first time and you're like, I'm interested, I don't really know, I don't know where they're going, you click on the banner at gracecurlyshow.com. You can go through the 9-day itinerary, and that's what I did over the weekend. You go through, they tell you exactly where you're going to go, how many days you're going to spend there. And what I like about this trip is that there are some trips you go on where it's like one night here, one night here, one night here, one night here. It's really hard to enjoy the area when you're so busy bringing your luggage in, bringing your luggage out, moving so quickly. We're spending 2 to 3 nights in a lot of these places, and it's just perfectly designed. That's how Colette does it. They really spend a lot of time trying to perfect the way that they travel, and you guys are going to love it. So go to gracecurlyshow.com or call 800-581-8942. That's 800-581-8942. I am so excited to go to Italy with you, so check that out. We'll be right back.
Watch the show live. Rumble.com/The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Well, I've never been to Spain, but I kinda like the
music. I don't know. Kamala Harris might be watching this Munich security conference thinking, what did I get such a hard time about? Not that bad. I said I'd never been to Spain. I'd never been to Europe. And that's what I got grilled for, talking about the coconut trees. Let's play the original Marco Rubio cut that AOC decided to criticize. This is Marco Rubio cut 3, please.
Our expansion into the interior followed the footsteps of French fur traders and explorers whose names, by the way, still adorn the street signs and town names all across the Mississippi Valley. Our horses, our ranches, our rodeos, the entire romance of the cowboy archetype that became synonymous with the American West. These were born in Spain. And our largest and most iconic city was named New Amsterdam before it was named New York.
Now, AOC then was invited on a panel, and this was her reaction to that speech, which, by the way, standing ovation for Marco Rubio, but AOC wasn't impressed. This is cut 4.
Rubio's speech was a pure appeal to Western culture. My favorite part was when he said that American cowboys came from Spain.
I thought it came from Winnetou, but
I believe the Mexicans and descendants of African enslaved peoples would like to have a word on that.
Yeah. You can, I don't need to explain it to everybody. Just do a quick Google search and you'll figure it out. She's really close.
Quickly, what's the link to Silence of the Lambs?
Because that's Wild Horses? Is that what that is? What's the song
Goodbye,
called?
Goodbye Horses.
Goodbye Horses. Yeah, so there's a new story out there. We'll come back to AOC and Marco Rubio in a second there. The Silence of the Lambs producer and the actor who played Buffalo Bill are expressing regret over the character after transphobia backlash. So this character that is iconic for how terrifying he was is now a source of regret for the producer and the actor. We'll explain why. It's pretty woke. It's pretty nutty. It's pretty 2026. We'll talk about it when we come back. Stay with us. A lot more on the other side.